This is the Rich Eisen Show. Show.
And you don't stop.
With guest host Andrew Siciliano, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Rich, you are the sexiest man of the year. Now
you don't have to be. Don't twist. You don't have to have your arm twisted.
Rich Eisen. Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Ravens safety Geno Stone. Still to come, Texans running back Dare Ogunbowale. Comedian Adam Ray. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
Which would be me. How's everyone doing? Good? It's a good Friday, a positive Friday here. After we had a game last night, of all the games that were played this week, last night was certainly one of them. It was the Bears eking out a 16-13 win over the Carolina Panthers. And with that win, because Carolina now falls into the number one overall pick, potentially, if you want to look towards that, the Bears own that pick and they have the fifth pick as well. And Frank Reich says today on the podium, maybe he will take back play calling duties. He didn't really say that, but he didn't shut the door on it. Anyway, I digress. There's a lot going on there. We'll get to all that stuff coming up in a little bit. And comedian Adam Ray in studio here coming up shortly. Chris Brockman.
Hey.
What's up, hey. Jason Fellett.
Hey.
Hey, TJ. How are you?
What do you do, baby?
Okay. And a hello to this guy in Houston now. I think the voiceover might have messed up his last name. We'll say it the right way. He's the man of the hour, not named C.J. Stroud, in Houston for the Texans. He is Texans running back Dare Ogunbowale, and he joins us live from the Texans building. Dare, what's going on, man? How's your week been?
It's been a fun week, man. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing well. You're smiling. It has been a fun week because in a week where there were so many cool moments, like Josh Dobbs, what a cool moment. You had one of those moments, Dare, where in the fourth quarter, you put your team ahead. Let me say this again. Running back Dare Ogunbowale put your team ahead with a 29-yard field goal. And it didn't just barely get over. Dare, you drilled it. How cool was that?
It was cool, man. It was cool. The stadium was loud. It was a good time, man. It was a dope experience. Fun to see all the reactions from my teammates and coaches, man. But it was special. It was a dope moment. For sure.
You also put a kickoff in the end zone. I know it was from the 50, but who cares? It doesn't matter. You put a kickoff in the end zone. The looks on the faces of your teammates and your coach, D'Amico Ryans, on the sideline, dude, those were priceless.
Priceless. That made the moment the best right there, man. Just everybody coming off the sideline, screaming, celebrating, the shock, some guys being surprised. It was special, man. It was fun. It was a fun game.
Did you see Baker Mayfield's look? Have you seen that tape?
Yeah, I saw it.
He kind of just went like, oh, okay. Wow. And to Baker's credit, he marched them down the field and threw the touchdown to Cade Otton, and then C.J. Stroud came back and marched you guys down the field, and you guys pulled it out. I know Kaimi Fairbairn's still banged up. Matt Amendola, who has been there in the past, is now in the building. Are you lobbying to kick this week in Cincinnati?
I'm not.
Why?
I'm going to leave that to the pros, man. I'm emergency kicker. I'm not a backup kicker. I'm emergency kicker, so... In case of an emergency, I got you, but I'm going to leave that to the professionals, man. They're too good at their job.
I mean, Evan McPherson's the kicker for the Bengals, right? He's got that swag. He came in as a rookie a couple of years ago. Do you not feel, Dar, don't you feel that you could match him kick for kick?
The swag part of it, I got it. But the talent, I mean, McPherson, he's a great kicker. Like I said, those guys, they're the best at the world at what they do. It was good to be able to fill in for my boys and help us win the game, but I'm going to stick to what I do best.
Okay, joking aside, you obviously played soccer as a kid, right? That's where that came from?
Yeah.
Were you a good soccer player?
I was a good soccer player, man. I played up until I was a sophomore in high school, but I was left midfielder. You know, I like to cut inside, you know, do what I had to do, go far post, but... So yeah, I was a good soccer player back in the day.
Sure. Has anyone given you grief that was actually your kick was 29 yards? It looked good, but it was shorter than what an extra point would be now.
You're the first one to say that. You know, I mean, I knew it, but you're the first one to actually say it out loud. So I appreciate that.
The only reason to bring it up is I want to know your range, Dare,
So in college, we had like a little kicking competition. I kicked a 45 yarder. I mean, granted, it wasn't in the game, but it was 45 yards, you know, from the 35. So I've nailed it. So I would probably say that's the farthest I put on tape. So I don't know if it can go much farther than that, but I would have been good from an extra point. I know I would have.
Okay, man, I'm impressed. I was also impressed by C.J. Stroud. And I think you guys have seen it every week. But what he did last week, like 470 and five TDs, and it's not just the stats. It's sorry, what we were talking about before. You guys got the ball back. I mean, Baker and the Bucks thought they won the game. And then he calmly marched you guys down the field. Like, you got the cover two hole shot to the sideline where Tank gets his feet down. The touchdown, he just calmly looks off the safety and fires it into the end zone. I mean, he's doing like 15-year veteran stuff.
It's special, man. And we get to get front row seat of every week, man, just because the way he comes in and prepares, you know, his like you said, his poise. I mean, you see a lot of quarterbacks come in with talent and all that stuff, but the poise, you know, he had going down the field, the command he has in the huddle, the confidence he has in himself and in the offense and the play call. I mean, it's contagious. It's special. And it's been fun to watch him grow. And obviously him being the quarterback and being able to be our leader. It's a privilege to be able to play with him, man. It's fun.
Tell me how it's contagious.
Just everybody's feeling the confidence, man. He comes into the huddle, he'll bark out the play call, and guys running to the line, you know, getting set, because just the way he kind of exudes that confidence, man, it's everybody's feeling it. Everybody's feeling it. And, like you said, when you have a rookie just playing that calm and poised, I mean, you have no choice but to be calm and poised while you're out there just because your leader's like that. So that's exactly what you need on an offense.
And this isn't a shot. You guys have had all kinds of injuries, both in the backfield and on the O-line as well. But statistically, Dari, I'm sure you guys are probably sick of hearing this. You guys aren't really running the ball, right? So he's doing this when everyone knows he's going to throw.
Right. Yeah, we played against some good run defenses, and they've been able to shut us down, honestly, in the run game. And like you said, CJ's just been able to go out there and still take advantage of what they're giving him and finding those ops. And, man, it's been fun to watch, for sure. It's been fun to watch.
Let's talk about this week. This is kind of – and you guys have had a few of these, but, you know, people are kind of realizing you guys are in this conversation now for a wild card. I'll say it. You don't have to. How big would this one be if you can go into Cincinnati and pull it off?
It'll be big. You know, we got the confidence. We know that we take care of our business. You know, good things happen. That's how it's been in the past. You know, we just got to go out and execute. But like you said, it's a big game for us. You know, and we to be able to go two in a row, get a little roll going. Obviously against a great opponent like the Bengals. You know, the past couple of years they've had, and so yeah, it's a good test for us, and we're excited for the challenge.
I assume you went home Sunday night and celebrated, obviously, but probably turned that Bills-Bengals game on. What'd you see?
Some good football, man. Some good football. Good defense. Like I said, they're a tough defense. You know, they don't really have many holes. You know, they play really sound defense, and so it's going to be fun to try to execute against a tough defense like that. So I'm excited for it.
All right, one more thing. Let's talk about you one more time. For those who don't know, your sister's pretty darn good too. She won a couple of national championships. You're smiling. You should be. I know you're proud. Won a national championship with a couple of shots, both in the semifinal and then the buzzer beater, obviously, in the championship game for Notre Dame. Arike plays for the WNBA Dallas Wings. She is a baller. The better athlete?
She's got it. 100%. She's the better athlete. I mean, we both work hard, but when we just talking about just being a better athlete, being better than your peers, I mean, it's Arike by a long shot too. She's just special, man. And being able to be her big brother is a blessing. You know, every time I get a chance to talk about her, I just get so proud because she's the best at what she does. You know, she's the best at what she does. Just a perennial all-star, led the league in scoring, like you said, natty champ. Yeah, it's fun to be her big brother. But yeah, I'll give it to her.
Can you hoop?
I hooped past tense, but okay. I can still do a little something, but back in the day.
Can she kick? Because I know she played soccer too. Like, could she have made a 29-yard field goal?
I don't know about in the moment, but she definitely, if you tee it up, if you give her a couple chances, she'll knock one through. But coming off cold like that, I don't know. I have to ask her, actually. I don't know if she could knock that down like I did.
I think that's a show. TJ, that's a show, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it be? One-on-one.
Who's winning? You or your sister, though?
Lately, the only time we play one-on-one is a little three dribble thing. So that's the answer I'm going to go with. She'll get me. She gets me. If we play more dribbles, you know, I don't know. But with three dribble, I'll say I've been on the losing streak. I'm just keeping it
up. Like I said, that's a show. Hey, Dari, we had Geno Stone on. Last thing for you, I promise. We had Geno Stone, the safety of the Ravens on, who leads the league in picks with six before. He went to Iowa. You're a Big Ten guy. You went to Wisconsin. You mentioned kicking in college there. You won that thing at practice. You know what's going on to the Big Ten right now.
Everybody wants to be in the Big Ten.
Well, yes, everyone wants to be in the Big Ten, but that's not what I meant. I meant with Michigan here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think of the Michigan thing?
It's weird. It's weird, man. Every time you hear a new story or read a new article, it just gets weirder and weirder. I don't know. I lost to Michigan when I was playing, so I scored against Michigan, though, so they didn't have that signal. They didn't have that signal. Yeah, it's a weird story, though. It's a weird story.
Have you questioned Nico Collins?
No, I haven't. I haven't. I guess I could go. Yeah, I could ask him and get back to you on what he says. But, yeah, I haven't really paid too much attention to it. Obviously, it's just more of a outside looking in kind of funny story to read, but it's weird though, man. It's definitely something that I haven't really heard in college football, but I'm sure it'll get resolved soon, and we'll be able to laugh about it or be past it. I don't know, but it's definitely a weird story, man.
Go ask Nico. Yeah.
See if
he's got Connor Stallion's name in his phone.
See if they're Instagram friends.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I'm not suggesting Nico did anything wrong. You know what I'm saying. Just curious, you know? We're trying to be an investigative show as well.
Absolutely.
Dario Ogunbowale, who had a fantastic Sunday in the Texans, try to continue what they got going on the road this week in Cincinnati. Dario, thanks for being a good sport, man. Continued success.
Absolutely. Appreciate you for having me, man.
Thank you, sir. Right, Dario Ogunbowale from the Houston Texans. Oh man, like everybody's got a story, right? Everyone's got a story about some underhanded thing that may or may not have happened while getting ready for a game. Everyone's got one, and everyone has somebody on their team, by the way, or on their staff that's really good at decoding signals. It's nothing. There's nothing wrong with trying to figure out what the other team is doing. Matter of fact, that's most of game prep is trying exactly. to figure out what the other team is doing.
Tendencies.
It's about sending people buying tickets.
Hold on, I'm trying to figure out what Andrew's doing on
this segment. And doing this, just, right?
Thought there was another spider.
And then taking it in. Right.
Well done. Callback. Yeah.
And then taking it in.
See, I only have an iPhone 11. I can only go 6X on you, but it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
You only have 11?
Well, step don't zoom in, please. Yeah, stop.
Step your game up.
I'm poor. I have a child.
See, but that's the other thing. When Rich was saying, hey, like he was joking, I can't even frame my shot. And look, I was on the road in Cleveland, and I was on one of our NFL Network shows, NFL Game Day Preview, which you can watch with me, yours truly, on the NFL channel, noon Eastern, coming up this week on Sunday. And I was trying to frame my shot. I had the same problem Rich had, but I felt like saying to him, well, any teenager could frame the shot better than you or I could, because that's what they're good at. They grew up with these things. These things. I'm like a grumpy old man now. I think I'm pretty good on the iPhone. I even know how to use CapCut now. I'm pretty good at it.
Whoa, what's that?
See? Showing his age over there. I'm pretty good at it. Our social team here at the Rich Eisen Show is going, bro, really? Great. Then why do you keep asking us for clips? You edit them next time. But any 20-something, which Connor Stallions is, if he's employing 20-somethings, they're really good with these things, and they really help, and you could film things. I don't know what the deal is. I just don't know what the deal is. But this idea that there's no evidence. Well, we don't know what the Big Ten has, guys. We just don't know. And the reason we're talking more about this right now is because, hey, you've been looking at the Twitter while I was talking to Dari. Anything?
Yeah, they're showing Jim Harbaugh getting on the bus.
Okay.
That's kind of the big clip that's going around right
okay.
now.
Okay. So here's the situation. Right now, Michigan is boarding the plane, right? Or they're going to the airport to board the plane.
Yep.
And they're going to get on the plane and they're going to fly an hour and a half, roughly.
Not far.
Into State College, Happy Valley. And they are going to play a football game tomorrow against James Franklin and the Penn State Nittany Lions. It is, without a doubt, the biggest test to date for a Michigan team that, for the most part, has not had a very difficult schedule, and that is putting it nicely. It's a big deal. Penn State, ranked team with only one loss. That one loss to Ohio State.
Yeah, 3-10 in the playoff standings.
It's a big deal. And everyone thinks that today is the day that the Big Ten will hand down discipline to Michigan. I'm with Rich. I don't think it's fair to suspend a coach at 35,000 feet.
Yeah, seems silly.
A day before the game.
Yeah, a little much.
I don't think it's fair when he lands to be told, hey,
go home.
Turn around.
Go home.
Yeah, turn around and go back.
You got to go home, yeah. But you got to.
You can stay, but you can't coach.
Got to get the heck out of Happy Valley.
I don't think that's fair. Now, I also don't think, let's just play this game. Michigan's guilty. Play along. But they're not guilty this week, okay? Like the idiocy to still be doing, if it actually happened, whatever it was they were allegedly doing this weekend, I don't think they're that bold. So if you know you're going to discipline them, I don't care if you do it today or on Monday. I think it's unfair if you do it today. You can wait till Monday because I think it's a safe assumption, and maybe I'm wrong, that whatever it was they were doing then, they're not going to do this weekend. Is that cool? Anybody? Seems like you're skeptical.
You can go home now.
But I don't buy this idea that you can't punish them because there needs to be a 6-year investigation? The NCAA does things at a glacial pace.
Yeah.
Glacial. Because they'd rather let everyone else take care of it.
Right.
And because so many of their decisions don't make sense, because it seems like they make them up as they go and they're challenged in court. I'll say this, if John Harbaugh is suspended today, like there is going to be a legal challenge by Michigan, and they will probably find a judge to let him coach tomorrow.
Jim Harbaugh.
Did I say John?
Yeah.
I meant Jim. I have no evidence that John Harbaugh is a cheater.
The Ravens might sue.
I do not think he's a cheater in any way, shape, or form. If they beat the Browns tomorrow, it will not be by cheating, okay? Tomorrow, Sunday. Sunday. Rosemont Horizon. Do you guys know Game Time?
I love Game Time.
Okay.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Game Time? Cool.
Love
Game
it.
Time. Beautiful. You should get it because you want to go to games this weekend. You do. Or concerts or to the theater. Wherever you want to go, Game Time is the place to get you in the door. Because we've all had frustrating ticket buying experiences. All of us. Many of them. Lots of them. Game Time. You're not going to be frustrated. You're going to get it done fast. You're going to find that last second ticket. It is the place for you. Download the app right now, Game Time. Go check out what's in your area, the event you want to go to. And when you download it, and after you open your account, we have a promo code. The promo code is RICH, R-I-C-H. It's worth $20. Pump in the promo code RICH, R-I-C-H, and get $20 off your first purchase. Obviously, restrictions apply. Go to gametime.co for the terms, create an account, and put in Rich. The Game Time app in your app store down the street. Go find it. Cool? Got it. Coming up, that guy, Adam Ray, in studio. Straight ahead.
Yeah. The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen. Half redneck, half posh, 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes for years.
You guys ruined that?
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I didn't know. People worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
I got to bring this up since we haven't spoken. The cart, you know the cart, what I'm talking about, the cart, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
My cart.
Yeah. what happened? Did you go up to the cart and ask for a ride to take care of your business? Or like, what happened? What happened?
I would never ask for a ride to the locker room, but, okay.
What happened?
People never ask for money, too, but when you present it to me, I'm not going to say no to it, so I came off the field.
Yeah.
I had come off the field like three plays before that.
Yes.
And I told my coach, like, hey, I got to take a number two. Like, it's not looking good. And then we got a first down and got close to the red zone. So I was like, you know what? I'll hold it. So yes. We end up scoring, and I come back to the sideline.
Yes.
And the trainer and the head trainer and the head equipment guy was like, hey, there's a cart down there ready to take you into the locker room to go to the bathroom because we're playing in Detroit, and it is a hike from the locker room to the field, and plus we're on the other side. So I was like, you know what? You can't miss an opportunity like this. So, you know, up the tunnel I went, and the rest is history. I just know I left my mark in Detroit.
DK, you gave a scare to everybody who loves you and roots for you. I mean, you know, seeing you carted, we're like, wait a minute, what's going on? And then what a relief, you know,
right.
to use another analogy as well. I mean, did you have people after the game saying, what the hell did you do that for? Just walk
everybody after the game. I was like, bro, don't scare us like that. I'm like, I wasn't worried, so y'all shouldn't be worried. But I watched the video, and I wasn't smiling on the way to the locker room, so that's probably why everybody was a little worried.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the tweet. You're like, that clinch walk wouldn't have made it. That's what that's what you tweeted.
And we were wearing white that game, so it definitely would have shown.
It's a Friday, ahead of Week 10, after the Bears dressed up head to foot in orange yesterday, and they went and they beat the Carolina Panthers 16-13, and with that, got the number one overall pick in their hands, at least for now. I'm Andrew, by the way. Rich is back. Hold on, Rich is back Tuesday, right?
Back Tuesday.
Tuesday, and back at his Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. You ever have those moments where somebody says, hey, it's great to see you, and then you go, I think he meant great to meet you, and then you have that like awkward moment, and you're like, crap, I met this person, and then you realize you had, and then you have egg on your face because, hey, you're the jackass. How did you not remember that? I just had that moment with our next guest, Adam Ray, in studio. Because Adam walks in and goes, dude, it's great to see you. And yeah. I'm like, and you saw the look in my face.
It was genuine and I meant it. And I don't think you get that a lot. I think people just brush right by a lot. But I walked in with a lot of like, dude, Andrew, Drew. I even thought about going with Drew or Andy.
My folks call me Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Andy, please. But okay. Drew would be great. Andy, I probably deserve Andy after treating you that way.
That takes you back to your Toy Story days. Yeah.
Yes. Need that.
Yeah. Andy, did you get like reprimanded as Andy?
Oh my, no, my mother reprimanded others if she ever heard them call me Andy.
No it way. Was
that's a no-fly zone.
No way.
Never been an Andy. Matter of fact, like if you were to yell in my face Andy,
sure,
I wouldn't even know that you're talking to me. I would like, you might as well be Frank. You're yelling.
So your mom, if it's okay, so if someone yells at you Andy, then your mom just shows up unannounced to
this day.
To yes, just kind
with
of
a frying pan.
Put people in chokeholds.
Yes.
Yeah. The frying pan, that was your weapon of choice? Wow. I didn't know you got beat as a kid, but let's get into it.
Not like that. No.
My mom was more of, she named me Adam because she didn't want me to have a nickname. And first of all, they couldn't see my wiener on the sonogram, so they were going to call me Rachel, which would have been terrible, because then I'm living in those shadows. Everyone's like, hey, Rachel, so can you make bolognese in under 8 minutes? And I'm like, oh, because of the show. Cool, I get it. But and then I don't know actually when they said that it showed up on the sonogram. You still can't really see it, but it's fine. It's not. It's normal.
Have you kept the film?
The film of?
The sonogram.
Oh, you know, I don't know. I'm not a big sonogram guy, and that's the third time I've said that today. But a friend of mine's wife actually just gave me a hard time for not commenting on her sonogram on Facebook. And she was like, I can't believe, it's my first time. Like, what do you, and I was like, what do you want me to put?
What is one supposed to say?
That to me seems so early. I'm like, what do you want me to put? Like, I hope it doesn't look like that on the way out. Like that's, you know, like, or, you know, and he's got beautiful eyes. She's like, those are balls. I'm like, well, I can't tell. So this is why I didn't want to comment. You're setting me up for failure. Anyway, we're talking about you. Andrew, it's good to see you. Forgot to mention is that last time, I'm here now, sans Dorf, Brad Williams, friend of the show, one of my best buds, great comedian. Look him up or check under
Brad's
your...
Brad's awesome.
Great
check
guy.
Under your friend coffee of the program.
Table. Absolutely. Right now. We met through Brad. Yeah. How did you meet Brad?
I met Brad years ago at K-Rock.
Oh, great. Okay.
So I used to do Kevin and Bean, yes. Morning show, KROQ, formerly. Used to be the morning show for 20 years. They were amazing on KROQ. And I would do Mondays with them, wrapping up the NFL.
Cool.
And I met Brad, I think, at one of the K-Rock Acoustic Christmases Weenie Roast
or
something like that.
April Foolishness?
April Foolishness. Maybe that was it. Probably the comedy show they do, April Foolishness. And there is a video somewhere. We talked about this when we did your pod.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's only stills of Brad beating me at ping pong.
Oh, geez.
Oh, yeah.
How tall is Brad?
4'4".
And I'm not. I'm 5'7", I swear,
yeah,
with shoes on. And Brad beat me at ping pong.
Yeah. Brad beats you at anything. It's I don't want to say demoralizing. He lost a limbo competition in Mexico. We went on a bro trip to Mexico before we both got married. And he lost a limbo competition to, I think, a woman that was... I mean, it wasn't even like attractive how flexible she was. You know, she was like bending in ways. And everybody, though, was kind of losing their mind because they were like, the dwarf lost the limp. Like, all he had to do was squat a little and walk under the pole. And he still lost because she somehow, you know, folded herself into a panini and went. Can you still say that? And she went under the pole.
When I was on the bar mitzvah circuit.
Anyway, we'll edit that story out. Go ahead.
When I was 13.
Yeah.
Although this is a limbo thing to this.
We've both been bar mitzvahed.
Yes, we've both been bar mitzvahed. When I was on the limbo circuit at 12 and 13 in Northern Virginia, and oh, what a circuit it was, I was undefeated at limbo.
You were.
I never lost.
Yeah.
This was 1987, roughly 5'2 with a mullet. Maybe 4'11.
You had a mullet.
In 87.
Let's go.
Yeah. Name ended in a vowel. And I was Jewish, and I won. I won.
Good for you.
Every single week.
Good for you.
I don't know that I could do that anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Limbo's not really, I don't think it's even an ESPN 11 type sport. Like, you'll see cornhole and bowling. By the way, if you get a chance to watch the bowling on ESPN, I think it's 2 or 3. I think they throw bowling on 2 or 3. It's intense. And not so much the bowlers. They're dialed in. It feels like, you know, it's muscle memory. It's second nature to them. But some of the guys get real fired up when they get 3 in a row. There's a lot of the Tiger like that, and some of the mustaches. I mean, they all look like they're about to get a DUI. Let's just start with that. Anyone who bowls professionally looks like they've, you know, anyone who's just like, I can't wait to get my fingers in that. Like, it's just, I don't know, a little slippery to me. But that being said, a great sport. Limbo, I don't think, though, has ever reached the popularity of such.
And people watch pickleball.
They do. Pickleball's fun. I played pickleball in Seattle. Was just up there to see my Seahawks, which I thought they were going to turn a corner in beating the Browns. It was a great win. I was there. Felt the energy. Bill Nye, the science guy, raised the 12th man flag.
Hey.
Which I feel like I got to be pretty close if we're getting Bill Nye to raise the flag. And that's no knock on Bill Nye. Bill Nye is the science guy. But I was like, oh, I bet it'll be Marshawn today. Or it's like, because we were doing the throwbacks. right? We released the throwback
and
jerseys.
And those were amazing.
They should be every Sunday. They're incredible. But you know, and Bill's a Seattle guy. I mean, would have thought, you know, even Largent would have been a cool choice. But anyway, we took care of business. And then last week, I don't know if you saw, but
I did. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
It was over early.
It was over early. And look, any given Sunday, we got a new week. But, man, I guess you know who you are when you play teams like that, right?
When you play the Ravens like that. So Adam Ray's here, by the way. And I'm a Browns fan, by the way.
Oh, wow.
So I that one was tough for me because the Browns should have won that game in Seattle.
Yeah.
What do you think of the blatant hold DK Metcalf on the game-winning touchdown by JSN, where he's literally lifting Martin Emerson's jersey off his shoulder pads?
Is that your they should have given it to Marshawn on the one?
It's a mid-season game that may or may not factor at the end of the year. But he's literally ripping his jersey off.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like a hold from my vantage point, but also, I don't know. It goes both ways.
It does.
It could have.
Of course it does.
I feel like people are holding every play
they
all the time.
Are.
There's no way you can. The speeds and the strength that these guys are working with, there's no way anyone is taught, you know, I'm trying to harken back to my offensive line days of getting under and then.
And keep your hands inside. You're going to get away with it. Right.
Totally.
Hands inside. You're
hands
fine.
Inside. And you're not supposed to hold on a little bit. But it's like human nature, too, when you're supposed to be taught to try to drive and control a 320-pound whatever man, that if he starts to pull away, you're going to, no, wait, where are you going? And, like you know, and add on top of that, what if you have abandonment issues? Then you're just like, no, you know, you're holding on for dear life. My dad left when I was 9. I mean, so if I was still playing football, I didn't because I quit to play Danny Zuko in Greece my sophomore year of high school and tried to make a joke about it, too. I went up to my coach, and I was like, Coach, I can't play this year. I can't memorize the playbook. I got to memorize the lyrics to Grease Lightning. And he was just like, you know, in so many words, get out of my office. And then he brought his kids to the Sunday matinee, and he saw me wearing all this makeup and a leather jacket, and he was just like, well, you didn't suck. And I was like, I thank you.
Yeah.
But shout out to Greg Ticone, Coach Ticone, threw a water bottle at a kid's head. But he, look, nobody's perfect. But it could have gone either way. But I think DK, thank God it didn't go against him because I don't think he can handle any more. Like, what is DK doing?
Another fine and another, yeah. What are you?
How do you
not
feel
that
about,
he would have been fined for that?
But. I don't think so. How do you feel about DK just you know, kind of having a I am who I am type attitude? I play how I play. If you're gonna get upset that I, you know, get a little too emotional.
I like DK.
Me too.
I think Pete,
I love him.
Pete and I would say the same thing probably, and I'm not putting words in Pete's mouth. I think he's pretty much
you
already
put
said
them
this.
In Pete's mouth, though. I've seen it. I read your blogs.
Yeah, you cannot get cheap shot penalties like that week in, week out.
Yeah.
Because A, you're gonna get fined, B, you're gonna hurt the team.
Yeah.
Did you tell that to Pete? You could have hold on, you and Bert,
oh,
right?
Okay. So
we're
Bert,
at
I was
practice.
Bert, oh yeah, Bert Kreischer, the machine, a true human legend. And Rockstar asked me to come up and do the Climate Pledge Arena.
That's
with
awesome.
Him in Seattle. And then the day before, he's like, we're going to go to Seahawks practice. And I was like, get out of here, dude. And I didn't know what that really, you know, contained. But we caught kickoffs. DJ Dallas was out there letting us catch some balls. And then Pete came and talked to us for about 20 minutes. And he had DK and Gino. And Gino walked through the hallways at one point. And he was like, don't I know you? And I was like, I think I saw some YouTube video. And I was like, yeah, man, and then he was super great, and then Steve Rabel, who's the Seahawks, voice of the Seahawks, is a buddy of mine, and it was cool because I had met Pete, and I tried to, in so many ways, let him know I was at SC while he was there. You know, I was at SC 2001 to 2005 during the 30 for 30 Trojan War, like that whole time, and then so Pete going to Seattle was such a special thing, so I tried to relay that all to him, and he made some joke to us. We were like, you coming to the show? He's like, no, I'm going to go see the Taylor Swift movie tonight. And then we didn't laugh, and he was like, I'm joking, guys. And we're like, oh. And then we all nervously like,
no, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah,
he could have done it.
He made some Tay-Tay reference later, but I'm talking to Rabel because he'd interviewed Pete, and Pete just comes by on a scooter. You know, he famously scooters around the Seahawks facility. I mean, he's agile as all hell, but he just scooters around to get from, he's just always moving and shaking. And so he comes by and he just goes, Adam, and he remembers my name and didn't give me a hard time right after I had told him that I knew his daughter from USC. And I tried to let him know that without, you know, coming up. I was like, I didn't know your daughter from college. But now that happened, but I know, you know, so, and I think he, you know, took it at face value. And so he scoots by and he grabs my phone and he goes, Adam, what are you still doing here? What are you still doing here? And I was like, you remember my name? And then I was talking to Steve Rabel. So I was like, I'm actually talking to Steve Rabel, which made me look cool in front of Pete. And he goes, Steve, leave him alone. I'm talking to my new best friend. And then he hands me the phone back and scoots away. And I go, Pete, Steve has you as his desktop screensaver. And he goes, he should. See ya. And skates away, like, waving backwards. I mean, the guy just does it all.
I love Pete. And years ago, what year was it? It was maybe right before what year did he leave? You go up there. Like 2009?
Yeah.
Okay. So his last year at SC, I was at 710 ESPN here in LA. And yeah. I did, every Tuesday we did the show, our 710 midday show from Heritage Hall. And cool. I did the Pete Carroll show, like the coaches show, would tape that hour there, and then it would air on the pregame show on Saturday. And that was not the easiest year for them, if you recall.
Yep.
But he was genuine. He wore the losses. Like, I mean, you could tell it wore him down, sure. But he never said, you can't ask this, you can't ask that. Uh-uh. He couldn't have been cooler. And still to this day, he is that same guy. And yes, he has the scooter, and yes, he moves real slowly, but when he's out on that field, man, yeah. and the cameras are on,
yeah.
he is gonna, I mean, he picks up the speed, he's throwing passes, he's got the energy. I mean, he's never gonna let you see him slow down.
Yeah.
Ever.
I don't even know if he sleeps. He might sleep standing up. I don't know.
Maybe wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Also, don't you just get to a certain age to where you just don't need... Like, my stepdad is 81, and he'll take, like, he'll get 4 hours sometimes and have, like, P-type energy, or he'll do the, like, seven-minute power naps, and...
That's a thing? Seven-minute power naps?
Yeah. Yeah, he calls it 7 minutes in heaven, and I'm like, that's not what that is, but my stepdad, I can't wait to go home for Thanksgiving. He pitches me movies all the time, and he's just like, all right, so I got an idea. First of all, he gave me great marriage advice. He was like, I got two very important words for you. Yes, dear. And then my real dad was like, I got some advice for you. Marriage is like a shoe. You try it on. If it doesn't fit, you grab another shoe. I was like, well, you did leave mom to start a new family when I was 8, so that checks out. And then my step uncle hit me up, which having a step uncle is kind of weird. It's like, his connection was like, my sister, you know, slept with your dad. And like, what up, man? Like, all right. But he hit me up on Facebook, was like, hey, if you ever find yourself in Scottsdale, I know a massage parlor that takes Bitcoin. And I was like, this is why we don't talk a lot, Uncle Rod, because you say stuff like that electronically, and it makes me want to delete my account. But I digress. My stepdad, George, the last movie when I was home over the summer in Seattle, he was like, all right, so Sandra Bullock, she's on the Space Needle. But the Space Needle is going to blow up. So Denzel Washington, he's just there as a visitor, right? He's there with his family. He's in the Space Needle. And so then all of a sudden, you know, aliens come out of nowhere, right? Because everyone likes aliens. I'm like, yeah, no, I don't think anyone hates aliens, but they're not, I don't think they're looking for them. And especially in a Sandra Bullock movie. And he was like, but it's an alien comedy because Sandra Bullock's in it. I'm like, well, she's not known for alien comedies. He's like, well, no, but now she will be. And I'm like, I think it's time for one of those 7-minute naps, George, because this movie is going nowhere. But that's what happens. I'm sure you guys get that all the time with people wanting to either pitch you sports opinions or ask you about certain money lines or like what's the equivalent, I guess, for a comic actor that's getting pitched a joke right now.
I mean, everybody, the one I always get is like you're walking to the airport and then somebody stops you. It's like, hey, man, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Nice.
Like, if I knew that, I wish I knew that. If I knew that, I probably, wouldn't be in group 4 boarding this plane yeah. right now.
Whoa, group 4, yeah. Do you ever get Southwest Sea Group? The rest of the Narnia.com?
Oh, yeah.
That is Southwest Sea Group, it's truly, some of these people have not even been on a plane before. They're foaming at the mouth. They're like, some of them come up to you, they're like, I'm C-177, are you, and you're like, I'm C-174, and they're like, well, I think I'm actually supposed to be in front of you. And you're like, we're both hanging off the wing, dude. I don't know what you're trying to pull off right now. C Group to me is like, I don't know, they're all wearing shin guards. They've got like mayonnaise on their sweatpants. And like, I heard one guy say once in C Group, he's like, I hope they got potato salad up there. I was like, have you even been, have you flown Southwest? We're maybe going to have to share peanuts. Spirit Airlines, though, is the worst. If you work at Spirit, I feel bad for you. The seatbelts, it's just two of the same side, so they just scissor each other. The flight attendants are blind. There's pee already in the toilet. The pilots high five when they land the plane. It's like, act like you've been there before, fellas. Anyway, but the Seahawks, I think, have a good shot to go to the Super Bowl. I would have said this two weeks ago.
But they wouldn't fly on Spirit to get there.
No way. No.
No.
If you do fly on Spirit to the Super Bowl, I don't think any. What would a team do, I guess, if they found out they were flying Spirit, like their plane broke down?
They just wouldn't.
Forfeit the game.
They just wouldn't make it there.
Now, let me ask you this. Do the Seahawks have a legit chance to go deep in the playoffs?
And I absolutely.
Guess, yeah.
If Geno stops turning the ball over.
Man. Okay, follow-up question for all you guys.
Yes.
How, and I'm sure you've talked about this, at what point do you consider Drew Lock? Or because you're not going out to get anybody
dun,
else.
Dun, dun. Didn't you say this earlier?
I said Geno hot seat. It's heating up a little bit.
It is, man. And I think Pete is just so big on like not turning the ball over. And
signed Brett Rypien today. Did you see that?
We did?
Yeah, practice squad Brett Rypien. You're collecting former Bronco quarterbacks.
Wow. Okay.
Russ might be.
Russ might be. There's no world where Russ comes back. We'll sign Rick Meyer before Russell Wilson. And drink five if you're playing the Rick Meyer drinking game. Wasn't his name Rick Meyer?
It is. Meyer, yeah. Rick
Seahawks
Meyer.
Quarterback. Yeah. In the kingdom.
Number three. Traded to the Bears.
Wasn't he like the second overall pick, right?
Behind he was.
Drew Bledsoe? He was the second overall
pick.
I think that's when we had Joey Galloway and Chris Warren.
93.
Correct.
93.
All right, they're yelling at me. Adam's got dates coming up. You're not going anywhere.
Okay, great.
Duluth, Minnesota, Appleton, Wisconsin, Rochester, Minnesota, Davenport, Iowa, starting November 16, 17, 18, and 19, the big Midwest tour. And coming up next, you had a chance to go through Rich's Instagram.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We went through Rich's Instagram. My buddy Brockman over here follows me on Instagram. I do this thing where I post pictures. I take pictures of people on the airplane, and I write funny captions about who they look like. And so we're going to do that with Rich's
Instagram. That is coming up next.
It's not illegal. Don't worry.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Adam Reese here, everybody. It's the Rich Eisen Show.
Go Hawks.
This guy over there, Brockman, with his Red Sox cap over there. Do you have the David Price sound that where he was bitching about David Price after the Yankees beat him up in, what was that, game two? Play it. Go for it for Bill Burr.
I want him to quit. I want him to retire on the spot.
He's not going to do
that. I didn't go that
hard. That's what I want.
He was terrible.
Part of you, so furious at David Price.
I was so furious.
But you were kind of feeling good, though. Like, you're getting it off your chest. Like, you couldn't
It was
have been,
therapeutic,
see,
but
that's
like,
what I'm saying. That's what. What's with? Is there something about
name another sports fan that sees their guy?
I don't know. Just like maybe I'm just a much more sunny disposition type guy.
Were you screaming at Harbaugh?
This is about him. This is about how great he is. Oh, now I see where this is going. I was confused.
No.
You know, Rich. You spoon fed it to me. I want to tell you something, Rich. On all the sports shows I go on, I think you are the nicest, most even keeled, pleasant, respectful to other fan base.
No, I just think it goes back to like the Tea Party. You know, it goes all the way back to like you don't feel represented. You feel like you're taxed. You feel like a taxed
sports fan. Do you feel the jealousy?
Don't you love that? You haven't been represented in the sports universe.
It's always great when I have another teammate come in to studio because I'm teamed up against two on one with the New York.
Don't you hate any time like there's a big Boston game? What they show, they always show like lighthouses, lobster fishermen, and Paul Revere like, oh yeah, that's Massachusetts. I never saw any of that. You know, who goes to a tourist attraction in your own city?
Exactly.
You only do it when relatives come to town.
Oh, like, do you want to go?
I want to go to the USS Constitution. Oh, do you?
Here's where Cheers
you
is.
Stand in line down there? Well, have a great time. I'm going to go to a dive bar. Where do you want to go next? You want to go to Cheers? Yeah. Just to let you know, it doesn't look like that when you go inside. So just take a picture outside.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, Andrew Siciliano sitting in for Rich with Adam Ray sitting in the chair. And we just had Bill Burr playing us in here on the Roku channel as well. You and Bill have this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And,
so was my favorite comic.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah. I think he's a lot of people's favorites.
He's unbelievable. And you have an unbelievable Dr. Phil.
Have you seen any of it?
I was watching last night. And so it's Bill interviewing you as Dr. Phil, right?
Flip it around. Yeah. So I started doing, during the pandemic, you know, I was trying to just find ways to create content and stay active, really, and just not go crazy, which was inevitable. And so a friend of mine who I'd met on the one season Mad TV reboot on the CW. Exactly. And so Jen Aspinall, this amazing makeup artist who was on SNL, the original Mad TV, Westworld, Winning Time. She won an Emmy for doing my Pam and Tommy Jay Leno makeup. Mm-hmm. She's a gangster. And so she did me up as Dr. Phil, and I started doing all these, just fun podcasts. And so it got to a point where I was like, I should do a live show because it's really fun, just character and heightened impression. And so I was doing a monthly show at the store and I hit a burn. I was like, I want to do something different and not just do another stand-up show. I think I might want to do this live Dr. Phil show and maybe you come on and be the guest. And he couldn't have been more pumped. I mean, he sent me like 9 voice notes being like, dude, you just got to really come at me for my rage. You got to be like, this next guy hates everybody. And he just wanted me to go. He wanted me to go harder in the paint on him during the show, but it ended up just being this really fun, you know, live, almost, you know, podcasty type thing. And it was just like, he went on this long rant at one point. There's a great clip of this on my Instagram where he's ranting about the Catholic Church and Nazis and all this stuff. And then there's just, it's about a almost 2-minute rant. And then I just take a beat and I just go, you going to go see the new Indiana Jones? and that got a big pop, and that really broke him. And so it's just real silly and just, you know, tangent filled. But I did another one with Adam Devine and Anders Holm. And then we have one on November 21st with Bobby Lee and Andrew Santino. And then who knows, maybe we'll get Andrew Siciliano on one.
Dude, let's go.
But
you lean into it, man. Like, I was watching on YouTube this morning. There was one where you had, was it like the Aussie guy in the crowd?
Oh, yeah. and
what's like, why are you here? Because like, Australia's burning down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was an old clip. Yeah. Of when I think the wildfires were happening.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so he brought that up immediately. And I was like, oh, thanks for bringing the energy down. Can anybody else top this bummer filled fellow in the front row? Dr. Phil is so, I mean, he just launched it. He's going to do his own like network, and which is smart.
Is he?
I mean, he's so, oh, yeah. He this whole video is like, my wife Robin and I, you know, people can't get enough of what I'm trying to put out there and what I'm trying to put in you, okay? Don't be weird about it, okay? I'm not Gatorade. I'm not inside of you yet, but I'm trying to be, because thoughts turn into dreams and dreams turn into reality. And as my friend Andy, don't call him that, his mama will dropkick you right in the nether regions, and you know what I'm talking about. In between the legs, it rhymes with nutsack. And what I'm telling you right now is that if you think big, you're going to be big, okay? And yeah, we all deal with weight issues, okay? Sometimes I'll lay in bed, I'll put a brown sugar Pop-Tart under my pillow, okay, for the tooth fairy, because she's got diabetes. We'll be right back. So he's launching his own network because, you know, people can't get enough of that. AdamRayComedy.com for all my tour dates. I got a special live from Portland on my YouTube. My next special will be coming out very soon. The Dr. Phil live show is on YouTube. I guess subscribe to the YouTube channel, Instagram, TikTok, tour dates, About Last Night, my podcast, which Andrew's been on, and
Go Rich Hawks. Has been
on. And Go Hawks! Russ is gone, so someone's got to say it. Go Hawks, Gino, we're still with you, baby. But don't screw it up this weekend because I got $30 on the game.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Too much time is spent discussing talent's age. The younger demo is just as excited about a Paul Heyman or a John Cena or an Undertaker or Becky Lynch, or I don't care what their birth certificate says, they're going to draw a younger demo because they're fun to watch and they're great entertainers.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.